book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk, chapter 3. And we're going to read a prayer that a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer that was given by Habakkuk. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth, which I believe is a type of musical instrument, if I'm not mistaken. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth and beheld, and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the waters passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves in the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto his people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Now, Father, we do thank you for the word of God that we've read. And I just pray that you'd help us to learn something from it. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've given in Jesus' name. Now this chapter is both a prayer and a psalm. It is a psalm that is quite clearly written. And it's a prayer that Habakkuk made. And in the prayer, he talks about God dealing with the earth, and God dealing with the heathen, and God dealing with his people. And he talks about some pretty bad times that are coming. that he's seen in this prophecy. And some of these hearken forward not just to the time of Israel's day, but it hearkens all the way up to the end of all things, when God makes an end of all things before the millennial kingdom. And and of course we all know about the Battle of Armageddon and all the things that are going to happen there, and we see all of those things that are there. And you know, he sees this, and he says, you know, he said, I saw it. And he said, when I heard, verse 16, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. He said, I hear this stuff and it makes me tremble. He's talking about a pretty serious time. And he understands what's happening. He understands the consequences of what's going to happen when God does this. If you go back in the book of Revelation, what do you see? You see war. You see famine. You see wild beasts and all manner of things that are going on. People are dying by wild beasts. There's all types of different things that they're doing. You know, it's always kind of amazing when I see the things that people do. You know, I've talked about, you know, they talk about the climate change, and they're trying to push this now. They're trying to push this idea that it's people that eat meat, beef. They're all the ones that are responsible for this. We got to stop beef consumption. And now they're processing food to make it look like meat, plants to make it look like meat. And half these plants you're using probably aren't any good anyway. All right? They've already proven that eating a lot of soy protein is not good for you. And especially, particularly for men. And so as they go through all of that, and they do this, they're trying to do all these things. They're saying, but you know, they don't say what they're going to do with the cows, do they? I mean, you think if they was really serious, they'd kill all the cows. But they don't want to kill the cows. They just want to stop people from eating them. You know, I talked about it and I mentioned it. I read an article where in Oregon, their idea is that you have to let that animal, that cow or that chicken or that pig or that lamb or sheep or whatever it is, or goat, you've got to let it live its entire life out, and then when it dies, you can process it for food. When it dies of natural causes, which is kind of stupid. And then they turn around and they say that in Colorado they're trying to get a thing where you have to let it live a quarter of its life before you can harvest it, you know, before you can butcher it. And it's just, it makes no sense. And it's designed to destroy the meat industry. What are going to happen to the cattle? I can tell you this. I don't know a rancher in the world that's going to just keep a bunch of cattle and feed them for 7, 8, 9, 10 years and get no profit. He's either going to kill them or turn them loose. And if he can't kill them, he's got to turn them loose, doesn't he? And you know, and so you, especially pigs. Pigs go wild awful fast, don't they? I mean, we have trouble with feral hogs here in Mississippi, and they got them bad in Texas and other places like that, and they're getting worse throughout the Southeast and several other places. And they do billions of dollars of destruction. Boy, you think a bunch of cows just running loose are going to do? Be like India. That's a funny thing. And it makes no sense. But then you wonder, how is it we're going to get to the point to where wild beasts are killing everything? Well, maybe they become feral. They become wild because of foolishness of man. And so who knows what may happen down the line. I'm just saying, you know, It just always, I sit there and think this stuff out. But Habakkuk knows that there's something going to happen. He's already talked about all of it. And in verse 17, he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, he said, I trembled in myself. Verse 16, he said, I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. He said, trouble's coming. I don't know if I'll have any rest or I'll have any peace in that time. But he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no more. The flock shall be cut off from the field, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. So he says, doesn't matter what's going on outside. He says, I know that a lot of what's going on is going to be in alignment with the will of God. When this time comes, it's going to get tough for everybody. But he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. And you know, Jesus said something very serious to it. He said, very similar to it, he said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads. Why? For your redemption draweth nigh. And there's that same sentiment there. But we're not just being given a command to rejoice in the Lord, even in troubled times, and even if things go crazy in this world, and we may be in a bad situation, and we might be scrambling for our next meal and praying for our daily bread, literally, and just instead of just expecting it to be there. And we may not have a lot of peace. There may be a lot of trouble out. We may not have a lot of rest. There may be a lot of trouble out. But you know what? We not only have an obligation to rejoice in the Lord and our salvation and to lift up our heads because we understand what's going on and our redemption draws nigh, but we also have an expectation. He didn't just say, well, I'm resigned to it. I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. No, he said this. He said, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. You know, when the mountains get too high and you don't have any strength, as a Christian, the Christian still has strength. Something to think about. Now think about that. We face a lot of difficulties in, natural things that happen. Family squabbles, problems, age, sickness, we're entering hurricane season, we're going through all these different things. But we have an expectation that no matter what comes, even if it comes from God Himself, if He brings something, there's some things that happen just because we're in the situation we have. We have hurricanes, because why do we have hurricanes? Well, we have hurricanes because we live in a fallen world and it produces weather events like a hurricane, right? And so, and also, we live on the coast, don't we? And by living on the Gulf Coast, now if you go up to Montana or someplace like that, you don't have to worry about hurricanes. But you might have to worry about a blizzard, right? There'd be something else in a way. And if you were to move in some places, up in North Texas, and we have our share of tornadoes here, but North Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, all that area there is called what? Tornado Alley. Why? Because the storms come down over the Rockies and they hit that plain and they get low, and when they spin up, they spin up big tornadoes, and those tornadoes a lot of times are a mile across sitting on the ground. They can get ugly. And then there's earthquakes and everything else that we have to worry about. You know, the people up in the Northwest thought they were okay. They were kind of out of the San Andreas fault zone and everything like that. And then up in Washington State, they had a dormant volcano. It had been dormant for years and years and years. And back in the, was it the 80s? That, or 70s or 80s that Mount St. Helens blew? Boom! There's so many things that can go on. And then there's the natural progression of things that are going on as man's sin continues. Eventually God brings judgment and we see the results of it, and it's going to come. And Habakkuk sees all of these things and he sees the result of them, and he's in the midst of the problem. But he says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. In other words, I'll be able to walk on top of these things. I won't be kept under. I can still serve God. I can still live. I can still make a difference. These things aren't going to stop me. And that's what we need to understand. Sometimes we read these things and we kind of just put it off and say, well, you know, old Habakkuk, he was pretty steadfast. But it's written for our learning, for our admonition. God recorded this prayer so that we could look ahead like Habakkuk did and realize that regardless of what comes, we can still rejoice in the God of our salvation. We can have joy in the Lord, and we can have strength, and we can walk above the things of this earth. And you know, the Bible tells us that a lot, doesn't it? Matter of fact, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, if you would. And we'll close out here, and then we'll go to our prayer time. But in Romans chapter 8, we're told it says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also glorified. And whom he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I go back to Habakkuk, and Habakkuk, he just says the same thing we just read. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer with all my stringed instruments. Isn't that amazing? Father, thank you for the word of God. Help us, Lord, to realize that in Christ we're more than conquerors. that you are our strength. That you are our joy. Help us to rejoice in you no matter what the world does, no matter what comes along. Help us to see clearly the hand of God in the events of our age. And help us to rejoice and trust in you. Help us to realize that nothing can separate us from you. Help us to realize that we can overcome, that we can have the victory. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.